Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We got news and good sports coming down the pike, and that's coming post-haste. First, I'll tell you about Shady Rays. High-quality shades for less. Oh, these are not expensive, but there's a lot of quality there. I got some. I literally was complimented. I walked into a business. You know when you normally take the sunglasses off? I literally just walked through the front door of a business. I was wearing the aviators with the blue tinted on the lenses, and the woman at the business just went, "Oh, I like your sunglasses." Premium polarized shades built for the outdoors and backed for life. One of the best warranties in the industry. They'll replace them if they're lost or broken, any reason, for lifetime craftsmanship warranty as well. So the craftsmanship, or even if you lose them, they'll replace them. Most Shady Rays are $48, free returns and exchanges. And I told you, my son and I were wearing this down on PCH. We're going for a ride down in Malibu. He's not used to wearing shades, so he took them off, and he's like, "I can't really see the water that well." And they put them on, and he went, "Oh, it's so clear now." And I said, "Yep, that's good sunglasses. That's Shady Rays. Plus, they provide meals to fight hunger in America with every order. Let's get some Shady Rays, right, Dawson?"
Exclusively for our listeners, they give us the best deal they have to offer. This is a Black Friday level deal. Use code Corolla for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs of shades for $48. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So we had a little conversation earlier about Chop and Chaz and what's going on up there, and I think they're getting serious about shutting this down. So officials in Seattle told protesters who've taken over roughly six blocks in the city's capital that they must leave the area. Now, this isn't random. This decision comes after one person was apparently killed and two others were injured in two shootings over the weekend. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan said city officials will work with community leaders to encourage people to leave voluntarily. The Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, Chaz Chop.
Oh, my God. My God. First off, shame on me and shame on you and shame on everyone. My goddamn attack crows. I mean, non-lethal force, you know what I mean? You want to protect your business. You know, when all the shit's going down, you got kind of two choices. Get up on the roof with a bolt action hunting rifle, or move out of the way and let everyone just break and loot and burn your place down to the ground, or you could have my tack crows.
Yeah.
My tack crows just sitting up on that parapet. No angry Antifa member could get near that place. No white supremacist could get near that place. There's nothing you could do. I mean, if you were just that, you know, that angry 19-year-old, like, running at the place with your skateboard and your lighter fluid and the crow attacked your head, you just, all you do is run the other way. Yep. That's
you're
all
like
you could do.
At the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you're like, you can come with the store if you want to, and they start to advance on you.
Right. Dog. Pow.
Just descend.
Yeah, the attack grows. And you want to break up Jonestown in the middle of Seattle? Just go send the attack grows in. No permanent damage. Just whacking at everyone's head. Look, as long as you're running the other direction, you're safe. Because all
the standing mobile or standing stationary.
Well, you mean, think about everything. It's like, oh, the rubber bullets, and then they fire the tear gas canisters, but then they pick up the tear gas canisters and throw them back. I think future generations are going to build up a tolerance to tear gas. I think, you know, like they do with antibiotics, or pests do when they become immune to Roundup or whatever fertilizer bug spray they're spraying. Like, future generations will not be affected by tear gas. We're going to have a whole super group of riders, but there's this thing, which is the taser works sometimes, but it doesn't work other times. And then other times they use the taser on them, or they fire. The attack crows couldn't be used on the officers or whoever was deploying the TACRAs. So a lot of stuff is you fire the tear gas canister, then the tear gas canister gets kicked, and now you got the tear gas where you are.
Right.
Or your taser in the scuffle gets used on you, or your gun gets used on you, or whatever that thing is. And then the non-lethal stuff is like so non-lethal that it doesn't really deter people from doing a lot of stuff. Attack crows, man. Attack crows. That's it. Up top. They come diving down. They whack you in the head, and then it's right back up to the parapet. And they're just hanging around. Like who would break those lines? What kid would encroach?
As a guy who's been attacked by a mockingbird,
right?
A crow is just insanely terrifying.
The mockingbird is the size of a hood ornament, and it's horrifying. Literally, you have to run down the street screaming. Raven or crow is so much bigger. It would work.
And trainable.
And trainable.
And all these things are happening outside, so it's perfect.
Yeah. I know this started off as a humorous comedic bit, but I was totally on board when it was brought up that it should be used for, I may have brought it up, for school shooters.
Yeah, yes, you did. What I mean?
Yeah, you see someone on campus, if you see a weapon, you know what I mean? You're just trained to see a weapon, any kind of, gun or crossbow. They just descend. They descend, and it's madness.
What we're looking for, and we were kind of talking about the application of the person that's going to go into the Home Depot and shoot it up, that they just kind of hung out in the rafters, and somebody comes walking in with a weapon, they go at their head. Now, look, there's sort of two or three sides of this, the attack crow thing, which is you don't want the problem with cops wrestling with citizens is we don't want the citizen dead and we don't want the cop dead. Mm-hmm. And the problem with cops, or by the way, anybody, if there's a 10% chance you're going to die and a 90% chance, if there's just a small percentage that you may die, you're going to use your weapon. That's how human beings roll. So also, we don't like the idea of the German Shepherd getting stabbed in the street or whatever either. Crows, nobody's ever mourned the life of a crow, number one. Number two, the German Shepherd and or the cop and his gun can do a lot of serious and permanent damage. The crow's not going to do any damage. It just forces you to stop doing whatever you're doing and start doing something else, namely fleeing. So, yes, let's use the attack crows. Gina?
Do you think PETA would have a problem with it? Because I think they're okay with police dogs. I don't know if because they're trainable and they're fed and they're taken care of. I wonder if they have a problem with attack crows.
Well, and they get a hero's funeral in the canine patrol.
I'm assuming PETA has a problem with everything now. I'm sure they're against everything that has to do with anything. That's what I'm assuming. But go ahead.
Yeah. So back to the Chaz. Durkin did not provide a timeline for dismantling the autonomous zone, and it did not say what the city would do if people refused to leave. And I think she's in a little bit of a precarious situation because she was the one that told Trump to go back to his bunker and we'll handle it. And he's saying, we'll use force and law and order. And, the politicians of Seattle kind of don't want to be associated with him. So they're like, can you just do us a solid and get out of here so we don't have to get the president involved? That's kind of what it's coming to.
Well, I would say this to any politician. First off, I was just talking to Drew about the mayor of Oakland, and there's a lot of lady mayors and governors out there now. Lady mayor. One thing that's opened this whole thing up is there's a lot. I've seen every night on TV and every time I open the paper, I don't open the paper, but I hear the stories or whatever. There's a lot of females in government. Yeah. It's sort of snuck up on me. I don't know what I can do about it now, but the point is you turn on the TV, there's a lot of women out there who are in government. The thing about you're putting yourself in a bad position as a politician if you go, I'll just do the opposite of whatever Trump said. You should just go, I hate Trump, and I'll do the opposite of what he would do most of the time or almost all the time, but on occasion that the broken clock is going to be right twice a day. Right. That's because I think some people
I think that's where they're at.
They back themselves into this thing. It's like, I disagree with everything that guy says or does. And now you backed yourself into a corner.
That's what it looks like they're at.
All right.
So Bill Cosby, speaking of guys that may or may not spend the rest of their lives in prison, this is hot off the presses. Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that Bill Cosby is allowed to appeal two key issues in his 2018 conviction on sexual assault charges. So he's 82 and is less than 2 years into his 3 to 10 year prison sentence. Tuesday's ruling grants Cosby the ability to appeal two issues in the case. One issue focuses on the prior bad act witnesses who testified about alleged assaults that were not part of the charges. And the second focuses on the prior district attorney's decision not to charge Cosby a decade ago. At his criminal trial, Montgomery County Judge Stephen O'Neill allowed 5 other women, including supermodel Janice Dickinson, to testify that Cosby had incapacitated and assaulted them in other incidents. Prosecutor says these prior bad act witnesses showed Cosby has a pattern in his assaults. Cosby's legal team has argued that their testimony was dated and dissimilar from the criminal accusations and should never have been allowed in court.
So, bold strategy.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well throw anything at the wall and see if it sticks. What choice does he have?
I guess. I wonder what Cosby's net worth is now, because at a certain point you stop earning and you start burning the cash. Speaking of that, I saw turned on. Actually, Garagos sent me a text I guess he sent me an email or something. It's like, hey, look who's on CNN. I was watching Willie T. Ribbs on there with Don Lemon. Or no, maybe Anderson Cooper. I can't remember.
He was going to be in Don Lemon. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, probably Don Lemon in there talking about the whole Bubba Wallace thing. Yeah, and God bless him. He's wearing an uppity hat.
Yeah.
which
he loves that hat.
But it's so funny because I'm sitting there last night and I'm watching my friend Willie T breaking through to the mainstream on CNN. And then I wake up that morning and Jimmy's getting busted for blackface. And I thought, well, this is a weird world we're living in now. I mean, boy, my new kind of motto is, you stick around long enough, you see everything now. I mean, think what is going on. And anyway, it's also a thing, too, where it's like I was excited that Willie T was on CNN last night being interviewed. And then, of course, disappointed this morning when I saw all my buddies getting outed. But anyway.
Willie had to have mentioned the doc, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think.
How else would they introduce him?
Yeah. He said it was directed by Blair Underwood, which disappointed me.
Yeah.
But I understood that there's a little too much baggage associated with me.
Sure.
It was DeJules Dash.
Yeah.
Do we have a clip or is that a screenshot?
We'll just show you the screen grab. So that's him and Don Lemon, and Willie is wearing his uppity hat.
God bless
nice.
Him. All right. What else you got, Gina?
Well, here's a new one.
By the way, Scott Eastwood on tomorrow, everybody. I'm excited.
All right.
He was in
Fast 8, Fate.
Oh, yeah, man. That guy's
little
good.
Nobody, they called him.
I'm excited to talk to that guy. All right, sorry.
Los Angeles County District Attorney Jackie Lacey announced Tuesday that adult film star Ron Jeremy was charged with forcibly raping 3 women and sexually assaulting another in separate incidents dating back several years.
First, they take down Washington statue. Then they go for Lincoln. And now Ron I don't know who to look. What about my world?
What do I believe in?
Yeah.
67 years old. His real name, Ronald Jeremy Hyatt. He's due in downtown court today as we're recording to be arraigned on an 8-count criminal complaint. The district attorney's office says the incidents happened between 2014 and 2019. If convicted, and remember, this is just the beginning, so who knows? If convicted, Jeremy faces a maximum sentence of 90 years to life in state prison. And I'm sure we'll get all kinds of details. This is just the very beginning.
Yeah. It's weird. It's I don't know why. It always sticks in my head because I grew up with Christy Canyon and her sister. And her sister asked me to the Sadie Hawkins dance. I think, and by the way, that's got to be illegal now, right? Or something. Anyway. So I always kind of knew Christy Canyon, and well, you've already heard the stories. But I remember very clearly her saying years ago when I interviewed her for terrestrial radio that I think she said that, yeah, me and Ron would just have sex just to have sex. Like, he was just like a fuck buddy. Like it wasn't for money. Like, at a certain point, it was just like booty calls and stuff. And I don't know why that struck me, that porn stars just having sex to have sex without getting paid on a Thursday night. Just, it struck me as weird, but I don't know why. Kind of in a weird
what
way.
What could possibly be more normal?
I know.
More consistent.
But I never think about porn stars having sex with each other and not getting paid.
Like a football player just playing a pickup game.
Yeah.
Things, you know,
that's what it felt
in the
like.
The summer.
Anyway.
We'll keep track of that. Odd, especially local news, otherwise I may not have brought it up, but movie producer, film financier, and real estate heir and major Democratic political donor Steve Bing has died. He was 55, but here's the thing. So without giving a name, KTLA 5 says the fire department, city fire department, said it responded to a report of a 55-year-old man jumping from a building at the same time and same place in Culver City. This just happened. Century City.
They don't have tall enough buildings in
Culver City.
You're absolutely right. Century City. You're right. Jumped from a building in Century City. He produced the 2000 Sylvester Stallone film Get Carter. He was a major investor in The Polar Express, the Tom Hanks animated film. He was a big LA socialite guy. Dated a lot of famous women. He fathered a child with Elizabeth Hurley, and she even put out a statement. It looks like he jumped from a building in Century City.
All roads lead to me to people being Me Too'd or outed or something. That, like, if this guy got around L.A. and made the rounds, maybe he knew about something. Maybe something
That's
was coming
possible.
Coming down the pike. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. It wasn't like, from what I, you know, just read, you know, real quick as this was going on, there was a paternity test with Elizabeth Hurley and, you know, who's the father? I'm not the father. You are the father. There was a lawsuit with the Krikorians, the big movie chain people. So, you know, I think he got into stuff, but no reasons had been given.
Tell Matt I'd like to start a paternity issue with Elizabeth Hurley. Okay? Now, obviously the kid's not mine, but I want people thinking that I banged Elizabeth Hurley. I just want to kind of get it out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your 18-year-old son. You got her in her prime.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Seen in 2001, Elizabeth said that she was pregnant and Bing was the father. And then Bing denies that he's the father and claims, hey, we don't have an exclusive relationship. And then took a DNA test and proved that he was the father.
Oh, even better. Like, hey, man, you're just my side piece, Elizabeth.
You knew how this was going to go down.
You're not a full-timer. I get around. Wow.
Yeah.
Man. There you go. Sam.
Yeah, so we'll see what we find out about that. You mentioned Tina Fey, so might as well just put a bow around that. Several episodes, three-ish, of 30 Rock will be leaving all platforms soon, if they haven't already. The episodes feature characters in blackface, and at the request of NBC, Universal, and Tina Fey, and Robert Carlock, they're being made unavailable to stream or buy or really find. So here's the ones, and see if you remember these. Two of the episodes involve Jenna Maroney, that's Jane Krakowski's character, darkening her skin with makeup. In one episode, season 3's Believe in the Stars, she and Tracy Morgan, switch places for a day as an experiment. In season 5's Christmas Attack Zone, Jenna dresses up as a black Pittsburgh Steelers star, Lynn Swan, while her boyfriend, who's played by Will Forte, dresses as Natalie Portman in Black Swan. in season 6's live episode from Studio 6H, John Hamm does a spoof on Amos and Andy and appeared in blackface. And by the way, I guess the timing is right because they're about to do a one-hour commercial-free special that's going to air July 16th on NBC. Everybody's in it. Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin, Tracy Morgan, Jane Krakowski, Jack McBrayer. And that's going to serve as a sort of a launch for their new Peacock streaming service. So maybe one to get their Peacocks, Ducks, whatever in a row before their big, you know, celebratory reunion.
Yeah. I don't know. Comedy seems comedy's a strange place to pursue because the essence of comedy is it means parody, it means laughter, it means I'm not, you know, to me, if you take something like, if you take a subject like racism, it's as serious and unfunny as a subject gets on its face. I mean, there's no comedy in racism. When people are doing comedy, I think it's hard to be racist and do comedy at the same time. It's kind of hard to do a lot of things and do comedy at the same time. I always think of comedy as just comedy. I've never wanted to examine it. Even comedians telling jokes or doing sketches or something. It's a weird place to look. It's just if you're trying to alleviate something, if there's a problem, going to comedy is a weird place to go. Or if you're trying to fix a social something, it just feels weird to go after comedy.
You know who I'd love to interview about this? Mel Brooks, because for somebody who's seen what he's seen, lived through what he's lived through, and done things like The Producers that are just making fun of and satirizing Nazis, and you think, well, that's inappropriate. You know, we shouldn't even bring it up. Well, his offense and defense against anti-Semitism was to laugh at it and to laugh at these people. So I wonder what someone like that's perspective is on this type of thing.
Well, we started to jump the shark comedically when I've always kind of pitched, like, where is our Archie Bunker? What happened to Archie Bunker? And then it's like, oh, well, we could never say that again, or you could never have that character again. And it always drove me nuts because it's like it's fundamentally backward. My super liberal hippie mom would sit around and watch the shit out of All in the Family and laugh at Archie Bunker, making fun of Archie. And I would, as a 9-year-old, I would sit next to her, completely understood the context when Sammy Davis Jr. would show up and go, I'm your new neighbor, you know, whatever it is. And he'd go, hey, or whatever, call him a Polack or whatever, he called a Jew or whatever he did. Had an utter context. He was the butt of the joke and everyone understood it. What is this now that we can't work the context for things? Yes.
Well, and so what I was thinking as I was reading that was, in this context, Jenna Maroney in 30 Rock is Archie Bunker. That's the whole role. Mm-hmm. The joke's always on her about how dumb she is. So she shows up for Halloween dressed as Lynn Swan and not Black Swan. And she's always the one that's misunderstanding everything and the narcissist and the narrow-minded. And that's what made that character funny. So she is the Archie Bunker, and they're gonna get rid of those.
Well, again, in my consistency, I've always said, if somebody takes my car to get it detailed as a surprise for me and it gets totaled by a drunk driver, I'm never mad at the person. It's like you were trying to do something. If you took my car joyriding and totaled it, that's a completely different thing. It's still a totaled car. You know what I mean? So one context is laughter and parody, and the other is an attempt at offending people, or in a one blackface or one version of this is not meant to be that kind of entertainment. It's a context. Do you think she's a racist? Do you think the writers of 30 Rock are racist? Do you think any of this is happening? Yes, Brian.
I was going to say, I speaking of which, I haven't seen this on social media yet. I'm sure it's coming. It's inevitable. But probably around the same time, I don't know if you guys watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
One of my favorites.
But Caitlin Olsen did a character, her news character, where she was kind of Puerto Rican, I guess, and she did the brown face and everything. But it's you mentioned Krakowski. I've never seen The Off or 30 Rock, but it's perfectly in line with Caitlin Olsen's character, D, who is an idiot. And they all do horrible things all the time.
They're bad people. That's the whole point. They're like Seinfeld, but more villainous and ridiculous. And that's so I would think they'd get a pass, but who knows at this point?
Context, everybody. All right, let's do one more.
Okay, well, I do have the Twitter letter that Jeff Ross posted. I don't know if you want to save that or do that.
No, I'll hear some of it.
Okay. So, you know, in this whole roundup of, you know, what's going on with everybody, he's been accused of, I believe when he was 33, having relations with a 15-year-old. And he, I guess, had been pretty quiet about it and wanted to get his thoughts together. And he's put this letter up on Twitter, and it reminded me of the kind of thing that, you know, that you've talked about, Adam. Basically, when you're not guilty, this is the kind of thing you say. So I'll read it to you. It's three paragraphs, so bear with me, and we'll see what we think here. Twitter, it's taken a lot of discipline for me not to respond until now because I believe this is a mental health issue and I support people who when they are hurting. But let me be clear, these disgusting allegations asserted against me are absolutely not true. I've never engaged in any sexual relationship with a minor. This story is old news. It's been investigated numerous times and thoroughly reviewed and never published. The witnesses and evidence do not support these despicable allegations. The person making these allegations has falsely accused others and has a documented history of drug abuse. Her best friend at the time did not support her allegations. Her husband, who is clearly assisting her, has been convicted of a crime involving dishonesty. They've been harassing me for years. Rather than continue on with reciting even more evidence than that refutes this nonsense, I will just say that I'm hopeful that this person gets the mental help they need. I intend to take legal action based on these untrue, horrific allegations because no one, no matter how sick they are, should be allowed to continue to try and benefit from false stories while attempting to destroy others. I'm proud of my reputation, not just as a comedian, but as a human being and an ally to women. The dangerous environment currently being exposed at the comedy clubs is real. I wholeheartedly support change and vow to do more to make my community safer for everyone. Although this accusation is false, I want there to be no doubt of my commitment to victims of sexual assault. Love and respect, Jeff Ross.
Wow, resounding.
Jeff is a very sweet guy. If you know these guys personally, we're talking about what a good guy Jimmy is. Jeff's one of those guys. And read it again in black voice, and let me really ponder
Thank
this.
Thank you, Stephen. But when you've always said, like, you know, where are the people countersuing? And, you know, he says, I'm taking up legal action.
You know, there's something that was I found like a kind of an interesting tell in this story because I didn't know anything about it. I hadn't heard about it. Then AJ Benza brought it up and I was like, huh? I didn't know any. I know Jeff well. And I went home and I Googled it and I found the story. And the woman, now woman, who's telling the story of when she was 15 and, I don't know, wanted tickets to a Friars Club roast or something, and she posted a picture of her and Jeff, and Jeff has his arm around her like you would take a picture with a young fan kind of thing back in the day, and his arm is like around her waist. You can see his hand coming back, and she writes, and look how close his arm is to my breast. And it's sort of like, well, if you put your arm anywhere around a woman, they're going to be, but that's a weird thing. I don't know, that little piece of information said, I don't know what she's trying to do, but it feels like she's trying to do something here. That's
a picture.
Yeah, that's a picture of a guy with his arm around your waist, not grabbing your breast. And yeah, it is 7 inches from your breast, but if you dance,
that's where your waist is.
If you danced with someone, you'd go, look how close he was to my breasts or whatever. I mean, Jesus Christ, get in a car with somebody, you're 14 inches from someone's breasts, God willing. So anyway, I found that to be an interesting part and a little bit of a tell. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, we got Geico sharing a little more these days. I bet you are. Geico wants to thank you for sharing all that stuff, your dance moves and DIY home haircut fails and inner lip sync stars. Now, Geico is going to share with you. Geico give back 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because Geico is committed for the long haul, they are going to keep the 15% credit, and it's going to last the full length of your policy. So the full term, you get the 15% off. Just go to geico.com/giveback. Let's see. Go to adamcarolla.com. I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv coming up July 3rd and 4th. We're doing a live podcast and stand-up there, so get those tickets before they sell out. And
fireworks spectacular.
Oh, yeah. And watch our Chassis channel, 585 on Pluto TV. We got the life of Paul Newman on there. They got the Paul Newman doc. We'll figure out what else is on there, Max. But you can watch a lot of good content on there as well. And if you want to revisit Uppity, it's on Netflix. And say hi to our good friend Willie T. Ribs. And get that book. I'm your emotional support animal. Leave a review, please. I will read those. And thank you. And until next time, good sports is coming up next. Adam Kroll for Bull Bryan and Gina Grad saying mahalo.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla return next with Good Sports. Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to some fresh, hot sports taken here on Good Sports. Dave Damashek over here. Adam Carolla over there. How are you, Ace? How's the week been treating you?
It's been good. Busy, good. Was in Nashville the other week doing comedy shows. And, you know, just getting out there and making and being with the people. I'm a man of the people.
Not just surviving, living, in fact, right?
No, not just surviving, thriving.
Oh, I mean, that
I think
feels
thriving. Yeah, not just surviving.
Well, it feels overly complicated as a low, you know, I just thought it was cleaner the way I said it.
Well, I'm not just surviving.
Right.
I'm thriving.
Yeah, I get what you're going for, but it feels convoluted. It just feels unnecessary. You could have just gone with the way I did, because like surviving, not as good as living. You know?
Yeah, but
like
living that doesn't rhyme. You know, like whenever they do those commercials and they'd go, listen, whether you live in Pacoima or Poughkeepsie, we're there for you. Mm-hmm. They pick words that start with the same first letters. It's important.
That's clever.
So what you just
did. I'm glad
that you're. What you did is you just did. So whether you live in Pacoima or Sherman Oaks, we're there to service you. And to me, I'm like, that doesn't make sense because the words didn't start with the same letter.
So like you just took my C minus and you turned it into an A as usual. It's amazing. It's kind of, you know what I'm like, Ace, for you? You've attempted analogies and metaphors around it before. What I am is the donut that you put on the bat in the on deck circle. Mm-hmm. I sharpen you up. I'm unnecessary. You don't need me, you know, but I sharpen you for when you get into the batter's box. You're free and loose because these sessions that we have together, you know, I'm a weighted bat that you have to try to continue your bat speed with, you know?
Yeah. And I like the science of when the guys have to get the donut off the bat where they actually pop it once on the base. That's a that's a uniquely American endeavor, that removing the donut from the bat. Also, then there's the guys who, in lieu of the donut, they do two bats.
I was just going to bring those guys up. Those guys are weird, because is that ultimately helpful to the cause, or are you giving yourself weird form trying to hold two bats at one time?
Well, let's drill down on this for a second. Do you think Tiger Woods would grab three golf clubs and just start swinging them around? You'd go, no, it's going to fuck up his swing, right?
Right. It would probably make him grip the club strangely, and then who knows if he can get the right grip when it's time.
Do you think Vitas Gerulaitis would grab two tennis rackets and start swinging them around at the same time?
Oh yeah, Brady down there on the Gulf Coast side of Florida right now is throwing three footballs at one time with one hand. That's what he's doing.
Or maybe he's got one in each hand and he's throwing them sort of some. That's what I'm saying. Would Muhammad Ali put on two boxing gloves?
No, he wouldn't, is the answer.
Would Mario Andretti drive two cars? I'm asking.
Cars are your thing, so I don't know if that's even possible. I don't even know if it's possible, Adam.
The point is if it doesn't work, if it doesn't work in any other sport, then why would you do it in baseball?
It's very true. And then there's the third group. Then they have that hammer thing, which, again, you ever see those guys who have that like weighted hammer thing? Mm-hmm. And again, it begs the question, like, why not just use the bat? Why take out a hammer? It's not the same dimensions as the bat. So what good is it when you get into the batter's box there?
And also, don't we have enough proof? Like the great Bambino, he ate a grinder and took a shot of vermouth and then went up there. He wasn't swinging around extra bats with weights on him. He just finished, you know, he'd take a shot of whiskey, eat a hoagie, go up there, hit a home run, and come back out and finish his hoagie. Like, he didn't have to do it.
You know what? I haven't really considered. I think we've kind of addressed this a little bit in the past. You're on to something here, because, you know, the people who are always like the most homophobic guys are like, we can't have this in our society, always end up having a boyfriend secretly. The most pious of all sports, you know, they should just move. They keep talking about for all the sports. I'll put them in a bubble and let them all play. I mean, that they don't move the sport of baseball and its Hall of Fame up to the peak of Mount Pius is a missed opportunity, at least. But maybe the piety comes from the fact that as you start to reel them off, Babe Ruth, yeah, he liked his booze, you know. Mickey Mantle, well known for playing hungover, maybe even a little tipsy. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa taking the juice. Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter on LSD. Is anyone clean in the history of America's pastime? Maybe they're so pious because they know there's never been a pure moment.
Well, made me think when we were doing our wordplay, talking about the great Bambino, he may have been, in fact, back in the day, homophobic, but it was not home run-aphobic.
Powerful. You know what?
These are powerful words.
I don't even want to try, because I know it's a losing proposition. Long odds against that, but any bet you want to make can be made, and Adam's here to tell you how.
Oh, Bet Online. That's right. Sports slowly coming back. UFC, NASCAR, boxing, soccer. Bet Online has the best odds and lines for upcoming games. Need more? Bet Online has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, they have casino games, poker tournaments, blackjack, and the like. Best props in the business. And you can just go to Bet Online. Visit betonline.ag. Use your mobile device with the promo code podcast1 for your sign up bonus. So you get your sign up bonus when you go to betonline.ag. Visit betonline.ag. Use our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And do not forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. Do it today and let's have some fun this weekend, hitting a fight or a game or boxing match. NASCAR is back. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Did you watch Sammy and Mark McGwire's 30 for 30?
I did. Yeah, let's dig in on that a little bit on the next episode, shall we? And just remember in the meantime, Bet Online, when it's time to stop merely surviving and it's time to start Sir Thriving. Yeah. Right? Did I do that right?
That's good.
I don't know if it's great. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll go with that for now. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good
Sports. You can follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook. And leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get all the links and leave a review. Everything's there at adamcarolla.com.